Hello, I'm William Bell with All Things Fulfilled, and I want to welcome you to this study that we're going to be talking about, sexual temptation, identifying the problems. Recently, I was contacted by a good friend of mine who asked me about doing some lessons on problems faced by Christians who are struggling with sexual temptations and sins. There were and are some struggles being faced, but they are not unique to any one family. The struggles that we speak about are found in many families, and the effects of those problems are evident almost everywhere we look in society. First, my disclaimer: I'm not an expert on sexual health, nor am I giving any kind of medical advice or health advice. Rather, the information presented here is from spiritual wisdom and instruction from the Bible, some online resources and books, which are available to anyone. It is evident that for whatever reasons, individuals, families, and homes are being destroyed because of problems associated with sexual temptation. And if not being destroyed, they are at least being very negatively impacted from these events. Now, some of these problems may include adultery, pornography, separation and divorce, child abuse, homosexuality, and even alcohol or drug abuse. Now, our first point that we want to talk about is a lack of knowledge. One of the main causes of sexual temptation is a lack of knowledge or ignorance. Just as Hosea 4 and 6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Because most people who are sexually tempted are ignorant about what the Bible says about sex, this could be a major cause of why they are suffering, even unnecessarily. Since God created men and women and instilled within them the desire for sex, His word should be the ultimate source in addressing the issues related to problems associated with it. Now, that the Bible speaks openly and frankly about sex and sexual temptation is true throughout the law of Moses, the prophets, and the New Testament. So if that is the case, then that should be definitely a source of our information, especially for those who are spiritually minded. Now, number two, a major focus will be on men in our study. And the reason for that is when we speak of sexual temptation, the greater focus is on men. And that's not to say that women do not suffer with sexual temptation. They do. But rather, it's men who struggle with sexual temptation to a much greater degree. And that's pretty much without question. Now, doesn't it stand to reason that if men suffer more with sexual temptation than women, it must also follow that the solutions for men must at least address this difference in some manner that is satisfactory. In other words, we just don't want to overlook it and then claim that, well, you know, we all have the issues, both men and women, but if they are greater in men, then there should be a bit more focus on that. And that just seems to make sense to me. Number three, is all sexual temptation sinful? In the Bible, it is clear that sexual immorality is sinful, and thus anyone tempted to practice sexual immorality would, of course, be practicing sin. However, it is equally clear that not all sexual temptation is sinful. There are also many examples and clear teachings in the Bible that are misunderstood as sexual immorality when they are not. So if one has a desire towards some of these things which the Bible allows, but who believes that they are wrong, they may feel that, you know, they are engaging in sexual temptation when they may have truly lawful desires towards something that God approves. So if that is true, could it be that God's view and approval of sexual behavior could be different from our own? Could it be true that God may allow more sexual liberty than what you have been taught? Could our own churches and preachers be the source of misinformation about sexual immorality? It's definitely a possibility that we are making some things a sin that are not, then unnecessarily suffering and beating ourselves up due to our ignorance. I remember when I was a kid, they considered swimming sinful. They considered playing cards sinful. They considered playing sports sinful, and a lot of other things that we're truly not, even listening to some music, they considered sinful. Now, we're not saying that there could not be sin involved in all of those areas. Obviously, it is true. But it doesn't mean that just the very nature of those things are sinful. And yet people were raised on believing some of those notions and caused themselves great grief and guilt for participation in those practices. As a matter of fact, some people even believe that the natural sex and interest between a man and a woman was wrong within itself and had, you know, very distorted views on sex from that point of view. Point number four, most view sexual temptation as a lifelong struggle that we must overcome. Does sexual temptation naturally end as one gets older? You know, the Bible says something about flee youthful lust, but is it possible that people could still have lust even as they age? Well, it doesn't go away just because you get older. In an article by lifeovercome.com, the writer said, when someone asked a humble, godly, old Christian what it is like to be sexually tempted, the response was, or to be not sexually tempted, I should say, the response was, I don't know. I will let you know when that time comes. You cannot dismiss the old godly man's commentary on sexual temptation as an anomaly. I knew the person who made this comment. He had an impeccable reputation and was a godly stalwart in the Christian community for decades. He is with Jesus now, but at the end of his life, he still did battle with sexual temptation, end of the quote. So that brings us to number five. A few reasons that men suffer more from sexual temptation. First of all, physiologically, men typically have a greater and much stronger sex drive than women. Men naturally think about sex more frequently than women. Usually men's interest is more biological or physiological. Women's interest is more emotional, even though both are involved. Now, there was some older research, and I don't know whether this is research or not, but at least it was a saying that said men thought about sex about every 7 seconds. However, we do have some more scientific research from Men's Health magazine, which reported research that said men think about sex approximately 19 times per day, whereas women only think about it approximately 10 times per day. Now, this leads naturally to more opportunities for sexual temptation by men than women because they're thinking about it more than women are. Men also desire sex more frequently than women, especially when sexual intercourse has not occurred recently. I watched a video by three young married ladies, and they were talking about marriage and, you know, how their lives changed in marriage. And one of them said that one of the things she wished she had known before she got married was that they would have told her how often she was going to be required to have sex. In other words, her husband wanted to have sex a lot more than she did. Maybe some can relate. The male body has a greater desire for the release that sexual intercourse provides, largely because in men, there is a greater percentage of testosterone in their bodies. Women also have testosterone, but at lower levels than men. Now, sometimes the biological functions of the body as a result of this will automatically release in what are called nocturnal emissions, which are commonly known as wet dreams. And these occur when men are asleep. So even when they are asleep, their body is still focused on the release of that sexual energy. Next, men are far more easily stimulated by sight than women are. And this explains why men are more prone to look at pornography. Simply, the sight of a female is enough to trigger a man's sexual drive. And of course, you know, women are often complaining that even in business settings and even in spiritual settings or church or wherever they may be, you know, out on the street, that men are often gagging, looking at them, and these disgusting looks, which they see, that they just detest in many cases. And that's because men are triggered by their sight. Lastly, a small group of men are tempted through what's called the sexual conquest of women. And this is called the incel rebellion. According to the conversation.com article, these represent an ongoing pattern of mostly white men who retaliate with extreme violence against women. Now, some believe they are a small fringe group, but others see them as a part of a much larger misogynistic culture. Incels, short for involuntary celibates, are a small, predominantly online community of heterosexual men who have not had a sexual or romantic relationship with women for a long time. Incels join larger existing groups of men with anti-feminist misogynistic tendencies, such as men going their own way, who reject women and some conservative men's rights activists, as well as male supremacists. Incels groups gather in the manosphere, the network of blogs, subreddits, and other online forums, and express their anger against females or feminists while claiming they are the real victims. They blame women for their sexual troubles, vilifying them as shallow and ruthless while simultaneously expressing jealousy and contempt for high-status, sexually successful men. They share their frustrations in Reddit forums, revealing extremely misogynistic views, and in some cases, advocating violence against them. The article goes on to relate the popular film, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, nicely illustrates the importance of sexual success or even conquest to achieving manhood as a group of friends attempt to rectify the protagonist's failure while simultaneously mocking him and bragging about their own exploits. And so their grievances reflect the shame of these sexual failures. Getting laid is a rite of passage, and failure indicates a failed masculinity. So basically what we see with how easily men are stimulated through sight, their greater desire for sex and their misogynistic tendencies for control through involuntary celibacy are three points of temptation, which are found in the Bible. The lust of the eye. As we said, men are more prone through eyesight. The lust of the flesh. Their biology tends to make them more interested in sex and thus more vulnerable to sexual temptation. But also the pride of life, as experienced with this incel group, this involuntary celibacy, creating this stronger desire because of the lack of romantic and sexual encounters with women. And therefore, sexual thoughts, sounds, smells, a brush against a female's body, all can trigger sexual temptation. Therefore, to mount an effective offensive against sexual temptation and sexual immorality, all three areas must be scripturally addressed. And finally, did it ever occur to ask that if God made men's biology, he also made it bearable and not a burden? What if God made it possible for man to be sexually fulfilled so that he is better equipped to handle sexual temptation and is less tempted to sexual immorality, or that it would at least be greatly reduced and less problematic? By using the wisdom and knowledge of God versus human wisdom imposed on men by some cultures, the problem of sexual temptation may become manageable. We hope that will be the case as you continue to study with us on these topics. If you would like to learn more, we have a form where you can enter your name and email address and sign up, and we'll be sure to send you periodically information right to your email box that will help you in your walk, in your understanding, and in addressing these problems of sexual temptation and how to overcome them. Thank you. I'm William Bell with All Things Fulfilled. Visit our website at All Things Fulfilled to learn more about Bible prophecy and other topics that we teach on. And be sure and subscribe and give us a like for any content that you watch. And until next time, you have a great day.